cable news, noisy, boring, out of touch. That's why Salem News Channel is different. We keep you in the know, streaming 24/7 for free. Home to the greatest collection of conservative voices like Dennis Prager, Jay Sekulow, Mike Gallagher, and more. Salem News Channel is unfiltered and unapologetic. Watch anytime on any screen at snc.tv and local now, channel 525.
The following program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this fifth day of November, 2023. And tonight, the title of my message is End Times Are Here Now. And before I get into that, I wanted to say that I was very, very, very pleased with Doers of the Word Baptist Church, the church that I pastor. Today, as the church went out to the Communist Party headquarters there in Newberry, Ohio, right there at routes 87 and 44, where they have all of these vote yes signs, the signs that indicate the people that are in favor of unlimited abortion, the people that are in favor of child sex prostitution, people that are in favor of the human smuggling, everything, pornography, child pornography, everything that God's Word, the Bible, calls an abominable, calls a sin, calls deplorable to God, repugnant, repulsive to God. That's what this issue one is all about, folks. It's not just about abortion. It's about, again, taking away parents' rights, giving children the ability to go and have themselves mutilated without the parents' even permission. It is evil. And this so-called amendment to the Constitution is put out there by evil people. Make no mistake about it. These people that are behind this are evil as evil gets. And they're running deceptive ads. And the ads that they're running, I've been watching them, these are extreme, I mean extreme lies told by extreme liars. And God's Word, the Bible says in Revelation 21, verse 8, all liars will have their place in the lake of fire. And unless there's repentance, those people are in for an extremely rude awakening. But today, the Christian patriots, doers of the word, they went out there and they stood all along right in front of the Communist Party headquarters, holding up signs out there that says, vote no on issue one. So here you had the good, clean, honorable patriots come and turn their backs right to the lesser people, to the dishonorable people, to the indecent people. That's what they are. And unless they repent, the Lord Jesus said, unless you repent, you too will perish. Anyhow, I know some of you say, well, Pastor Uni, you're such a tough man. Now, listen, if you think my preaching is rough, you ought to hear what the Lord Jesus had to say. You ought to read the Bible sometime, especially go over to Matthew 23 and see what he had to say. I'm mild compared to what the Lord Jesus said. And so here, I want to, before we get into it, I want to do a little bit of commentary, just some opening remarks. Signs, signs. Everywhere you go, they say yes, and we say no. And so, folks, the times, they're rapidly, rapidly changing. I heard on Friday on Salem News Network how the left now, they're boasting, the left here in the country, that there are more professing witches in America than there are Presbyterians. And so, you've heard it said that the more things change, the more they stay the same. In the past, Israel had Ahab and Jezebel and the prophets of Baal. Today, we have Bill and Hillary and the Democrats. For those of us that know enough about end-time prophecies, the signs are slapping us in the face. There has never, no, not ever been a better time to make your salvation sure than right now. That said, let us now take a closer look at what God's Word says about the future and what the future holds. And again, the title of the message was End Times Are Here Now. And we're going to start tonight in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. So he's very specific here in other passages of Scripture. In fact, over in 1 Timothy chapter 4, refers to later days and later days. In other passages it says in end times. But here in one other passage in Peter, it refers to the last days, last days. This means the very end of the sixth dispensation period, which is the church age which we're in. Now, he's telling you this when he says perilous times shall come. That word perilous is only used one other time. In fact, that's used over in Matthew 28. And the word means exceedingly fierce, exceedingly fierce. So the closer we get to the rapture of the church, the closer we get to the Lord's return, the more furious things are going to get. Now, you've noticed how quickly things have been going south in this country. The anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-Israel, how it's rapidly deteriorating. These are signs that are literally slapping you right in the face. And he says this, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. I've never seen such narcissism in my life. I mean, folks, it's just amazing when it says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. When I listen, and I especially watch, because one of the things I have to do is I have to monitor the enemy, our opposition. You know, we bring you a lot of news stories, and I've got to go and tune on, and as painful as is, listen to what they're saying, so I know how to counteract it. And here, I've never seen more narcissistic people than the TV news anchors. These TV news anchors, boy, I'm going to tell you, they love themselves. They're really in love with themselves. And we see that, too, in a lot of these so-called rock stars. The one woman, I can't even remember her name. You hear it so often, and you kind of push it aside. But everywhere you turn, you know, the news media is treating this woman like a goddess. But I remember a lot of these athletes, like James LeBron or whatever, boy, the narcissism, the love for themselves, it's really exceeding. We've seen this today whether covetous and boasters. The Bible says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. If you'll humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, God will lift you up. Well, these people are not. For men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, and disobedient to parents and unthankful. That's exactly where our society is going. Boy, do you see that is so, so prevalent on your college campuses, and especially those that are they call themselves professors. They call themselves professors, but God's word, now, and you know, folks, God's the ultimate and the end authority. At the end of the day, God's word is the ultimate authority. And so as they call themselves glamorous, if they call themselves all of the names that they have for themselves today, God calls them fools. They call themselves wise, but God calls them fools. And here in verse 3 it says, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good. Now, it's an interesting thing here. You know, the word for incontinent in the Greek is akrates, means without any strength or any power, being powerless to do what you know is the right thing to do. You've lost your ability. You've gone so far to the left. You've lost your ability. You become reprobate. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fiery, despisers of those that are good. And boy, folks, I'm going to tell you, the left really, those in the fake news media, they really, those in Hollywood, those in the entire Democratic Communist Party, they really despise those that are good. I mean, they really hate us. They really hate us. And here, you see, people say, well, Pastor, the way you tell those people, you're always harping and tell them they need to repent. Well, listen. And they say, well, that's hate speech. It's not hate speech. If you hated them, you would just say, all right, they're going to burn in hell. I'll just let them go. I won't warn them. I'll let them be. I'll let them go on. But my job is to warn the wicked. To warn the wicked. And that's what we do. And if they can either heed the warning from God's word, the Bible, because the pastor, the preacher is only the messenger. That message is coming from God. That's God's word. He goes on to say, tradey, heedy, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Boy, do you have that. You have that, especially in the prosperity church, folks. The prosperity church is all about riches and money and pleasure. And let me tell you, you've got just a lot of sexual sins going on inside the prosperity church out there today. It's a lot worse than most people think. And today you've got these New Age prosperity preachers. They're all about money. They're all about money. You've got, and not just the prosperity preachers, add to that the Wiccans. Add to that the Wiccans today. Now, their religion is about pleasure too, evil wickedness. And of course, the Satanists, you know, they derive pleasure from the suffering of others, from the suffering of the innocent. But you see that out there today in the prosperity movement. Traitors, heedy, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now, we're seeing all of these things going back to verse 1. Remember, as we get closer and closer to the Lord's return, it'll become more and more fierce. And then he says, he's referring to these leaders having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And what do? Well, they deny the Word of God. When they're denying the power thereof, here, for such, turn away. Well, how do you see that? Well, you see that especially in the prosperity preachers out there. But you see it in the cults, too. They deny that they'll say that Jesus is the Son of God, but they refuse to say he's God the Son. They refuse to say he's the second person of the Trinity out there. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins and led away with diverse lusts. Well, the houses here are church houses, is what he's referring to. And with these prosperity, these apostate preachers, you have people like Paula White, you have Kenneth Copeland, Joe Osteen, Kat Kerr. It's Kat Kerr. A lot of you don't know who she is, but she's a woman that's out there with pink hair. And she's preaching that she's been to heaven thousands of times. She goes up to heaven, looks around, hangs out for a while, and comes back here. Listen, Jesse Duplantis recently said, now, in times past, we played audio of him where he was referring to how the Lord Jesus, every now and then, would come and call upon Jesse Duplantis for advice. Folks, I'm not kidding you, okay? And now, just recently, he's come out, and he said that he was just with Jesus, and that Jesus was forlorn. Jesus was very heartbroken, just heartbroken. And Jesse was saying how he put his arm around him and he comforted him. He was a good comfort to the Lord Jesus. Boy, I'm going to tell you, it's really something, this Jesse Duplantis. But folks, you say, well, how could anybody fall for such stuff? Well, money answereth all things. Money answereth all things. And you have people that want to believe if they, and what happens with the prosperity preachers, they will often, they prey on people that are desperate, people that are about to lose their home. And, you know, maybe they have maybe $1,000 left or whatever little money they have left. They'll say, take that money, and send it to us. That's your seed money. And count on a blessing. Count on getting it back 100 times, okay? And people are very, like I said, they're desperate. So they listen to these prosperity preachers, and they lose everything. And they play off these prosperity preachers. They play off the people that are desperate. And so here he goes on to say, for this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins and led away with diverse lusts. The houses they're referring to are the church houses. And in these prosperity churches, they have women where the enemy attacks them is in the area of discernment. In the area of discernment. If you look at Joel Osteen, if you look at these people like Paul White, and that, look at their audience. 70%, 70, sometimes 80% of the people that are attending their services are women. Why? Well, it's the area of discernment. You know, if we go back, and it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. That's why Satan went after Eve instead of Adam, where Sarah, when she got caught up in the problems she caused, and it comes down. Now, Job was a smart man. He told his wife to get back in the kitchen when she tried to get him to curse God and die. But that's not saying that women are in any area any lesser people than men. That means that their area where they're attacked is discernment, and men They have just as big a weakness, but that area is pride. The devil knows how to play with a man's pride. And, you know, all of us have that, and that's the nature, and the enemy knows that. He goes on to say, ever learning, these women are ever learning, but they're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, the reason that they're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth is they're never learning the truth. They're learning everything but the truth. Now, I want to go over to 2 Peter chapter 2. And in 2 Peter chapter 2, again, this is referring to the end times. And he is saying, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Now remember, what we're reading goes back 2,000 years. These prophecies were made 2,000 years ago. And again, we're seeing all of these things unravel right before our eyes. He says, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Well, here you have, we were bought with the blood of Christ. Now, here, when he's talking about this, this is an interesting verse here. The Greek word for damnable, apaleia, is translated also into destruction, their pernicious ways, their damnation, all of these things. The Lord's redemption price, we read in 1 Corinthians 6:20, which he paid for in his own blood, folks, was sufficient to purchase salvation for all who are lost, even those who deny him and his redemption. Now you see, again, the Lord's blood, you know, you often hear people say, well, who did Jesus die for? Jesus died for everybody. No, Jesus didn't die for everybody. The Bible's very specific, especially if you go to Romans chapter 8, it's very specific on those that he died for. You see, had Jesus died for everybody, everybody would be saved. But his blood was only applied, to those that he died for. Or I should say, he died for those in whom his blood was applied. When he had said, in my Father's house are many mansions, if I go to prepare you a place, he didn't go and prepare a place for everybody, even though he said it wasn't his will that any would come short of the glory. But he died for those that were predestined, and he understood that. And his blood was applied to those that he died for. And he says here, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Well, here, you have to understand, again, when we go back to the Prosperity Church, they make merchandise of those people on the Prosperity Church. They fleece the flock. But that also has even got a stronger meaning today with all of what is happening, with all of the child sex trafficking. This is what this issue one is all about. This issue one on the ballot here in Ohio, it's about death, suffering, and pain. It's an evil, evil thing, folks. And you say, well, Pastor, how long are you going to harp on that? I'm going to harp on it. I'm going to give it everything I got because it is so wicked, so evil. It would be a sin for me not to do everything I could to stop that. And he says here, again, and through covetous they shall with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now for a long time lingereth, not their damnation slumbereth not. And so, here, I want to go over now to to Mark chapter 13. And I actually need to get something to wet my whistle. I won't believe this. I had put me aside some tea, but I set the tea in the refrigerator, but it was a shelf right under the freezer, and here it wasn't froze up. But I set it out, and now it's starting to defrost, so I think I'll be okay tonight with it. Now, Mark 13, verses 5 through 10, we read this. And Jesus answering them began to say, take heed lest any man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, boy, are we hearing that today, aren't we? Be you not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues you shall be beaten. Well, let me just stop there for a second, because now he's talking to the people that are going to be the first church leaders. In fact, the very first converts to the church were Jews. And at this point, and actually in the early days, often the Jews would hold their services in the synagogues on Saturday, and they would allow the Christians to use the synagogues on Sundays, but not the inner court, the outer court, on Sunday. So for a while there, Christianity was actually considered by some of the Jews and the Romans to be simply a sect of Judaism. Well, that all changed later on here. But here, he goes on to say, take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in synagogues you shall be beaten. Now he couldn't have told him what the church was then, because they wouldn't have understood him. But here now he goes on to say, and these are the words of our Lord himself, and you might be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them, and the gospel must be preached must be published among all nations. Now here, this is the interesting thing. Again, remember, going back, let's say this was written 2,000 years ago, and today, in well over 90% of the world's population have heard the gospel being preached. Put it this way. Right now, this King James Bible that I have right now has been translated into over 2,300 languages and dialects. And so, again, and in that, again, 2,300 known languages and dialects, is covering more than 90% of the planet today. And so, again, this is verse 10, and the gospel must first be published amongst all the nations. So, again, the signs of the times, you know, are literally slapping us in the face here. I mean, you can't deny what we're seeing. It's unfolding right before our very eyes. Now, I want to go over to Revelation chapter 11. And I'm going to have to take another. It's melting enough where I can get some of my green tea, because This is the third time today I preached this message. And it takes its toll on your vocal cords, folks. Revelation chapter 11, verses 8 through 10, we read this. And their dead bodies shall lie in the streets of the great city. Now, here, what it's referring to is the two witnesses, Enoch and Elijah. Enoch and Elijah are the two witnesses. And here, he's telling you, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people shall, and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts unto one another. Well, the church is gone. The church is gone. These are the heathen nations, those that have rejected the Lord. And he goes on, and he says, and they shall send gifts one to another, because those two prophets tormented them that dwelt upon the earth. Well, the two prophets brought down fire out of heaven. They came and they were preaching damnation. They were preaching God's judgment, and the people didn't want to hear God's judgment being preached. And so here, the point is, this was written 2,000 years ago. Now, when this was written, there was no such thing as global communications, folks. There was no such thing. When this was written, people could not have seen this all over the world. But he's telling you, 2000, when the time comes, when the whole world will be able to witness the two witnesses here, the two servants. And of course, these two witnesses return to Jerusalem to finish their ministries, where they, like their Lord, will be slain by his enemies right there. Even with the temple worship was restored and their enemies were defeated. And what do? Just like they've always done historically, whenever God would bless them and prosper, very shortly they would forget the God who blessed them and the God who prospered them. And what would they do? They would go a-whoring. And that's what they did here. And so here, they very, very quickly departed from God, and their holy city became like, as it says here, like Sodom and Egypt. Like Sodom and Egypt. Verse 8 again. And their dead bodies shall be in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt. Now, Sodom, Egypt, and Babylon were all names of wicked cities, of very sinful cities. Today, you would call San Francisco, Los Angeles, you would call Chicago and Detroit. You would especially call Washington, D.C., very wicked and very sinful cities. Philadelphia, add to that mix. See, God's not mocked. These people are in for an extremely rude awakening. This nation, we stand in the shadow. And like the Bible says in Hebrews, it's a fearful, fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And America stands in the shadow of a very holy, a very righteous, and a very angry God. And so, repentance, that's the other thing. We had earlier talked about the Prosperity Church, the Word of Faith Church, and that, where, the Bible says the only remedy for sin is repentance. But they tell you don't need to repent, not even for salvation, not even for salvation's sake. And so, again, what are they doing? Well, they're preaching another gospel. They're preaching heresies, as it says in Timothy. Now, I want to go over to Matthew chapter 24 and read verses 20 through 21 here. Now, again, the Bible tells you this, that one of the end times prophecies is that mankind would be capable for the first time of destroying all life on planet Earth. Mankind would be capable of doing that. Now, let's just read this. But pray you that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall the great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, and let me read this again. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days shall be shortened, there shall be no flesh to be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now, some years ago, I used to find myself being able to get into, I would go to, when they would have the World and National Council, their meetings, and here you would have the World Health Organization, the WHO, they would have Sierra Club, you'd have Planned Parenthood, the ACLU, all of these Antichrist organizations. And I would go and I would sit in. Now, all of them thought that we were with one of the other groups, so they spoke freely about how they were going to depopulate the planet, their goals. And here, they were talking about, in those days, of course, genocide. They talked about starvation. They talked about, especially, there was a big emphasis at a time on vaccinations. Vaccinations was going to be a great way to sneakily and kill off people under the guise of medicine. But they talked about also at that time, again, like I said, starvation and euthanasia was, and like it is today in Canada, it's horrible, and they're pushing it here. But today, one of the ways that they're killing off so many people is fentanyl and drugs. Now, of course, and with the vaccinations, I've been told that, and I've seen some reports that many people, and I know that at that time, and I'm trying to remember, it was a little country in Africa where they were boasting about how the young girls that had taken these vaccines, they were 8 times more likely to die from the vaccine than they were from the human papillomavirus. And they celebrated this, what a wonderful thing that they were able to, kill off these young girls and get away with it. And that's why Bill Gates they had warrants out for his arrest in some of those African nations. And so here now, today with this fentanyl, if I remember the last time I heard, over 100,000 Americans have died in the past year from fentanyl. So today they've come up with all kinds of ways of depopulating the planet. But again, here, when this was written 2,000 years ago, mankind did not have the ability, was not capable of destroying all life on planet Earth. Today, mankind is capable of destroying all life on planet Earth. But they have to realize that it's got to be with God's permission, and he's not going to give that. God's on the throne, and they can only do what God allows. They can still only do what God allows. I know the days are evil days that we're in today, but that's still a reality. And as we hear often, Because people today, a lot of people, have a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of anxiety out there today. People are worried about this or that. And the point of it is this. And I've heard so much talk recently about, Pastor, are we in World War III? Are we going to go nuclear? Well, folks, let me tell you. God is on the throne. God is in complete control. Okay, nothing can happen that he don't allow it to happen. Now, with that, this is why we need to call upon his name. We need to pray. And, you know, America has turned her back on God. The Bible says that all nations that hate God will be turned into hell. All nations that forget their God will be turned into hell. All nations that hate God love death. All nations that hate God love death. That's what that is. This is what here in Ohio that issue one is all about. It's about death, 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 death. This is why you must vote no here in Ohio on issue one. And you must call people that you know might be confused. That might be you need to call them and explain to them that they must vote no on issue one. Now, I want to go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, boy, it's been a long day. I can tell you, I am so tired. It's really been a long day. My day started actually at 2 o'clock this morning. And I'm a tired fella. But I only have 20 minutes more tonight. By the way, yesterday, I did three segments. I don't know if I should be saying this, but it's already been done. And I did three segments from that dirty, dirty jail in D.C. where you have the Christian Patriot hostages being held. And believe it or not, they have the ability, the inmates have got the ability, by God's grace, to be able to call me. And here, they wanted me to interview me, and we did three segments. And once I receive those segments, once they get sent to me, we'll play them on the air here. But anyhow, going over to First Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Starting with verse 1, verses 1 through 9. I get it. A little tired, folks. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, the day of the Lord always deals with judgment. The day of Christ always deals with salvation, and the day of the Lord always deals with judgment. A lot of people get this confused. I mean, radically confused, too. And so here he goes on to say, for yourselves know perfectly, again, let me go to verse 3. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Today, listen, you've seen. By the way, folks, all of these protests, these things that you're seeing, these anti-Israel protests, these things have been planned for the last 2 years. These things just didn't happen. The day after Hamas attacked Israel, and Israel responded, the very day they came out, they had the T-shirts printed up. They had the banners printed up. And they started out on these college campuses. It was all preset by the communists. And folks, these are the Antichrist Communist Party working hand in hand. You have an unholy alliance, an unholy confederacy between radical Islam and communism. Now, normally, they really can't stand each other. But they have a saying, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, and they are willing to work together. against Jesus Christ, his church, and the nation of Israel. And so he goes on to say, and when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Well, what do you have? You have, you know, now, all of these marches, these protest marches, if they want to have peace, they want to have peace. Ceasefire. Israel must cease fire. In other words, I remember during the Vietnam War how they had the same thing with the Paris Peace Accords. The whole point was for a ceasefire, even though the United States, we had the North Vietnamese, we had them flat on the back, we had them beat. They were beat. But no, that wasn't the way the bankers and the military-industrial complex people, that wasn't their plan. Their plan was not for the United States to be victorious. Their plan was to keep sending us off to wars that we were never meant to win. And that's what they did. And so what did they do? They took 2 or 3 weeks just to sit and argue about the shape of the table that they would be sitting at, okay? Giving the Communist Party a time to refuel and refurbish, restock their munitions and that. And so this is exactly what the idea here is with Israel and Hamas, giving Hamas a time to regroup. And Israel is not buying, is not going to buy it. And here, what you're hearing all over the world is peace, peace of Israel. And all of a sudden, even the apostate church is out there, which they could care about peace at all. They're for death and destruction. But the same thing's happening in Ukraine. Here it goes on, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. That's all we're hearing in the Ukraine. We want peace. Russia, Ukraine and peace. It's all over the news. When are we ever going to have peace? When it's going to be over with? Same thing here, the saber rattling that North Korea has been doing, trying to cause angst among South Korea and Japan, in fact. And so here, we're seeing this unfolding right before our eyes. We're seeing prophecy unfolding. He goes on to say, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not the night nor of darkness, but our opposition is the night. Our opposition is the darkness out there, those on the left today. Therefore, let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the wrath of God is referred to as that tribulation period. The tribulation period. And it says in many places that the church will not go through the tribulation period. It would be ludicrous for the church to go through the tribulation period, because the entire purpose of the tribulation period. And by the way, you know, I wanted to go back to, there's been all of this fear mongering out there talking about, will America bomb Iran? Will America bomb Iran? I don't think so. Biden wants to destroy our country. There's no doubt about that. He definitely wants to, you know, that was his job. He was put in there by the Communist Party of China, and to reduce America to third world status. But here again, going back to the tribulation period, the purpose of the tribulation period was for the purification of the nation of Israel, the wife of God, that she would be brought to repentance and purified. and become a remnant, Zechariah chapter 14. Here, the church, the bride of Christ, has already been purified. So the purpose also of the tribulation is the judgment upon the heathen nations. And so neither one of those two apply in any way, shape, or form to the church. And so I want to go to over here now to Amos chapter 1. In Amos chapter 1, now, you know, we see things, again, what I read earlier, the more things change, the more they stay the same. And here, if we go to Amos chapter 1, it's the judgment on Gaza. Now, folks, see if this sounds what's happening in Gaza today. Well, there's four places in Scripture that says, guess what? God's judgment has come upon Gaza. Now listen to why that God's judgment has come upon Gaza as we read over in Amos, again, over 2,000 years ago. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Gaza, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they carried away captives and the whole captivity to deliver them up to Edom. Now, let me ask you exactly, what has Hamas done? What exactly has Hamas done there in Gaza? They've carried away captives. And who's he talking about? They carried away Israel captives. And now he's referring to this today. And so not just Israel, but they carried away a number of Americans too, taking them captives. And he says here, since they carried away captives in the whole captivity, he says, but I will send a fire on the wall of Gaza, which shall devour the palaces thereof. Have you noticed the smoke rising up all over Gaza, folks? Have you noticed that where he talks about also taking their palaces, and removing their palaces? This is not the first time that this has happened in Gaza. This seems to be, and there might be, you know, hundreds or even thousands of years in between. But again, God's dealing with them today, just like he dealt with them over 2,000 years ago here. And I will cut off the inhabitants from Ashdod and him that holdeth the scepter of Ashkelon. And I will turn my hand against Ekron. And the remnant of the Philistines shall perish. Well, the remnant of the Philistines, as far as I know, have been perished long ago. But maybe there might be some out there. But I think they had perished. But I could be wrong. And then I want to go over to Jeremiah. Now, there's something in the scripture that refers to Damascus. And it's important that you understand, because Damascus plays a major portion in when the start of the tribulation period. And the Bible tells you a couple of things. In Damascus, that the young men of Damascus will be converted to the Lord right at the end. But also Damascus now is the oldest city that has been continuously inhabited. The oldest city that has been continuously inhabited throughout the history. And here's what it says. Concerning Damascus, Hamath is confounded in Arpad, for they have heard evil tidings, and they are faint-hearted. There is sorrow on the sea, and it cannot be quiet. Damascus is waxed feeble and turneth herself to flee, and the fear hath seized on her. Anguish and sorrows have taken her as a woman in travail. How is the city of praise not left the city of my joy? Therefore her young men shall fall in the streets, and they and all the men of war shall be cut off in the day they saith the Lord of hosts. And I will kindle a fire in the wall of Damascus, and it shall consume the palaces in Ben-Hadad. Well, if you remember a few years back, first of all, Hamas had used Damascus, and they had massive bunkers in Damascus filled with arms and rockets and ammunition, and Israel bombed those, and a lot major parts of the city were totally destroyed, but not completely. But when Damascus does become completely destroyed, that means that the tribulation period has started. Now, I want to go very quickly. Well, I guess I really don't have time for this. I'll have to get to that this year. But in Daniel, well, maybe it talks about in the last days, and well, I'm just going to read verse 4 in Daniel. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Well, what we are doing right now, is what we are doing here on this radio program, is we're unsealing the book that Daniel sealed. This is what is happening as we go through, as we see the prophecy being fulfilled right before our eyes. And here we preach, do you see what's happening right now? This is what Daniel said. This is that is the process of the unsealing of the book. And today, he says, even to the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. So he was talking about how what we have today, we have the transport. People are traveling worldwide rapidly, and how very rapidly, and how today that knowledge is being increased. Not every 50 years is not being doubled. Now every couple of hours. And here now he's saying knowledge, not necessarily saying truth, but there's knowledge and information that is taking place. And today, of course, we have AI. There's a lot of talk about artificial intelligence in the media. And so this is a part of the Antichrist system out there. And then I wanted to take you very quickly to Isaiah 66, verse 8. And in Isaiah 66, verse 8, just one verse, and we're out of time for tonight, but and that is this. And this, as I said tonight in the church as we was preaching, many of those in that congregation, including yours truly, were alive when this verse here that was made almost 2,800 years ago, and we saw this first being fulfilled. Who hath heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion unveiled, she brought forth her children. Folks, in Israel, on May 14th, 1948, the nation of Israel was born. Well, I'm out of time for tonight. So as we always say at this time every night, we say good night. We say God bless. And then we always say this, always, 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 and I do mean always, folks, keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
The preceding program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 12.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.